The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So hello and welcome to this beginning of this series. And this week's topic follows last week's. Last week's was the qualities of the Dharma, characteristic qualities, by which we can find our own way, we can be our own teachers, by really knowing how to connect to, touch to that inner intelligence that exists in the present moment, arises from a careful attentiveness to a present moment experience. I offered the idea that this Dharma intelligence is there in between the sensations, the perceptions we have of present moment experience, and the knowing of that, the awareness of that. Something dynamic can happen there that can guide us, support us. This is onward leading. This is where invites us to be present. And so this way of being our own teacher this way is key to Buddhism, finding our own way. And we find this in this very famous sutta, discourse, called the Kalama Sutta, the discourse to the Kalama people, where he came to there. He was not frequent, he didn't frequent that part of northern India, but he came there, and so the people there were eager to ask him a question. And they asked, they said, there's a lot of spiritual teachers who come by, come and tell us this is what the truth is. And how do we know which one of them is speaking the truth? The Buddha avoided answering the question directly, but rather gave them guidelines for how they can know the truth for themselves, and rather than trust other people to provide it. And the first thing that he offered was that you could know for yourself what is wholesome and what is unwholesome. And then he continued a little bit, what is harmful and what is beneficial. And there's a few other things he said, but we get the sense here that we ourselves become the person who understands this. There's the evidence. We can be present in the present moment and acquire the evidence, acquire the information that we find our own way, maybe not to great philosophical truth, cosmic truth about the nature of reality, but rather the profound truth that's needed to find our way to peace, find our way to the end of suffering. And that, for that purpose, we ourselves are meant to be our own teacher. And so this criteria of wholesome and unwholesome will be the topic for this week.
You find it in the teaching of the Buddha. He comes back to it over and over and over again.
There's a famous poem in this Dhammapada that ends by, this is the teaching of the Buddhas. It's in the plural, as if all Buddhas in time and space have this particular teaching. And it says, to avoid causing harm, to avoid doing what is harmful or wicked or bad, harmful. Sometimes people use the word evil here, to avoid what is wicked, to avoid doing what's mean and harmful. And so that's the first line. The second line is is to cultivate, to engage in what is wholesome, to purify the mind. This is the teachings of the Buddha. So this little kind of four-line verse puts us, cultivate the wholesome, right at the center of what the Buddha wants us to do. Elsewhere he says, he has said, if you could not cultivate the wholesome, if you were not able to do what is wholesome, I would not teach you to do so. But it is possible for you to do the wholesome. Therefore, I teach you to do the wholesome. So over and over and over again, so this criteria is center what the Buddha has to teach. And the inner intelligence, the Dharma intelligence, that makes us find this and recognize this, recognize where we can move to greater health, where we can avoid what's unwholesome or ill health. So the Pali word for wholesome is kusala, K-U-S-A-L-A. And there's some maybe fanciful etymology for the word, that it comes from the Indian word for a particular kind of grass called the kusa grass, K-U-S-A. And it's a grass which has it's very hard grass with very sharp edges. And it was apparently collected and used for different things, maybe for feeding animals. Sometimes they say that people collected it in order to make a sitting place. They would sit on top of it to make it a little bit softer than the hard ground. But the thing is, with the edges of the grass is so sharp that if you're not careful, you can cut yourself on the grass. So the people who collect the kusa grass have to be very skilled at it. And so they have to go from the base. They know how to do it so they don't cut themselves. So this word kusala, then this kind of etymology, means that we're trying to do things which are skillful, that from which we can benefit ourselves with a soft place to sit, rather than something to do something that harms us. And what's nice about this is this etymology is that even things which are beneficial for us, how we do it, how we acquire it, we can do it in harming ways. So the idea is we always come back into something deep inside of ourselves. How are we taking the next step? How are we engaged with whatever we're doing? If we're doing something that seems like it's universally good, it's possible to do it with greed, with conceit, with even some aversion, which is how we cut ourselves. But can we engage in everything we do in a way that we don't harm ourselves? And this is the call for reference to kusala inside of ourselves. And there are two ways that kusala is discussed in the text. Two ways it's translated into English. One is as wholesome, and the other is as skillful. And if we go back in the ancient texts, we see that in different contexts, different ones of these translations work best. The third translation that we could use for kusala, it turns out that it's probably the word that's most qualified to translate the English word ethical. Most people who know a little bit about the ancient Buddhist teaching think that sila means ethics. But sila literally means conduct, and by usage refers to ethical conduct, rather than just something that's ethical. And so kusala is a little deeper. It has this deep inner ethics that we want to live by. And it's an orientation of how we live. And for this word to mean wholesome, skillful, and ethical all together makes a wonderful mix that makes it particularly rich for one of the key concepts of Buddhist practice and Buddhist life. And some people love it that translate this word as skillful and akusala as unskillful, because it takes decision making out of good and bad. If we're doing an ethical evaluation, we ask, is this a skillful thing to do or unskillful thing?
And then it's not good or bad. It's something more specific. Some people, like myself, love the word wholesome because it's I think of it etymologically as meaning part of the whole. And the idea that we sit here and meditate to come into a harmonious whole, into a where all of ourselves is included, and all of us is included in a way that it works together in a healthy way. And so that's the fourth way that I like to translate kusala, healthy. What is healthy? What's the healthy thing to do? So this week, the topic will be kusala and a little bit of akusala, and skillful and unskillful, wholesome and unwholesome. And as I hope, as I give these talks and do this guidance, that you'll take it as a pointing to how you can feel your way, sense your way, and to know for yourself what is wholesome and unwholesome, rather than what is true and not true in some philosophical, abstract, metaphysical way. You can find the next moment, the next step you take. Can you do that in a wholesome way? And the presumption, I think, the underlying basis of this in the Dharma of the Buddha is that this path of wholesomeness, finding what's wholesome, is the path to liberation and freedom from suffering. It's such a useful skill. And that, so that's the topic. And I hope it's meaningful for you. And certainly I'm looking forward to talking about this important area of practice. Thank you.